Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond just talking about Christianity to living more like Christ. As we do so, we should impact others around us. Christ did. We might call him the ultimate leader, and yes, he was a servant. He was gentle, but he was powerful. And we're thinking about leadership today and the impact, influence each of us have on others, whether you're in a corporation or a church, whether you have a lot of people following you, or you're just working a nursery or have a couple kids at home. It doesn't matter. This all is important for your life. We have with us Doug Stringer. He's been a guest before. We've talked much about prayer with Doug, but today we talk about a book that he's recently released titled Leadership Awakening, in the subtitle Foundational Principles for Lasting Success. Doug, welcome.
It's great to be with you again.
Doug, your book is full of little boxes that are grayscaled, and they all have the title Provoke a Thought. And as we go through this interview at times, I'm going to pull up some of the quotes from your own writing or others you've quoted. But here's one. Discouragement and disappointment bring disillusionment, which then breeds compromise and distracts us from our intended destination or our destinies. Now, I kind of want to begin with the fact that you've been through a disappointment that could have led down this you into a downward spiral. But really, I see you as a man who was steadfast. You stuck with the vision God's given you. You trusted the Lord through it. And tell a little bit about your journey as you faced cancer and so forth just recently.
Absolutely. You know, it was almost 2 years ago. Well, that a little over 2 years ago when I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. And of course, you knew in the middle of that in 2015, we're involved in all the response prayer gatherings at Joel 2 Solemn Assemblies, and various governors had asked us to come. So we knew that the church was crossing its racial, denominational, generational lines, meeting at the cross of Christ, because even in our diversity, we can find authentic unity in Christ, even in our differences of opinion, personal preferences, etc. We as the church need to be that plumb line of healing and hope in a nation right now, and even before and through and beyond the elections. The elections will come and go, but we as the church need to be who we're called to be. And so through that time, I remember sitting down with my wife and daughter and mother-in-law, and I said, first of all, God did not do this to me. And if God did not do this to me, this will not be about me. It cannot belong to me. This needs to be a message bigger than us. So let's keep our focus not on the adversity or the circumstance or the challenge, but on how God can turn this around into an opportunity of ministry. It's a ministry we didn't ask for, but it became a ministry nonetheless. And as a result, through that whole process, we began to see things in an incredible perspective of people who are lonely, didn't have the support base we had, like in the body of Christ, or they were alone at the cancer treatment center and other places, and at MD Anderson in Houston, and we began to see a ministry evolve where soon all over the country and around the world, people coming out of the woodwork contacting me to ask questions and looking for encouragement, and found that even it spread beyond the cancer. It was about adversity. Now, I've learned that every adversity has become an opportunity for God to show himself greater. People would ask me, Doug, how are you feeling today? And regardless of how I felt, I said, every day is a good day because I serve a God, a great God. And the reality is that I serve a God who has abounding grace, great grace, and the privilege of being able to let his light shine even in my circumstances. And people said, well, how can you do that when you're going through this? I said, look, my challenges or circumstances does not dictate who God is. His word is still his word, and his truth is still his truth. And so I don't expect to change that because of what I'm going through. I expect to continue to proclaim the goodness of God and the good news of the gospel, and to be the gospel wherever God allows me to go. And by the grace of God, not all of our journeys are different, but by the grace of God, he's brought me through, and I'm still in remission now, and go back every 3 months for checkups. But, you know, we try to eat healthy, live a life consistent. At the same time, our prayer life is increased, and wanting to stay low before the Lord, because I recognize it's all about bringing honor and glory to him anyway.
And a lot of it's about character. You know, character, we can talk about it, but becoming more like Christ from inside out, sometimes that's developed through trials, isn't it? I'm going to read another provoke a thought here, Doug, and let you respond. But you're right, we need princes, politicians, priests, pastors, prophets, and people who will love God and others more than they love themselves. From preachers to politicians, from pulpits to political officers, and in between. We need a revival of character. Talk to us about character.
Well, you know, I read and learned through the late Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, who founded the Christian Men's Network, that our personal giftings can take us so far, but it can't take us where only our character can. So our personal giftings can open doors, but only our character is sustainable. You know, you find out in the midst of difficult times the true character of an individual or the lack of it. And so the characteristics of the kingdom of God emanate from the character of the King, King Jesus, first him and then through us. And so I think, as Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's not saying follow my earthly example. He's saying follow those things in me that is reflective of Christ. And I think it's the same true as leaders or in the body of Christ as Christians, that people are looking to follow. We just have to begin to let his light shine in us in such a way that people can follow.
Yes, character is just such a clear theme in Scripture. And so thank you for opening your heart, sharing about trials you've gone through recently, because I bet everyone listening can say, I'm going through some things right now. Now let's flip the equation a little bit and think about heroes, because that's part of what leadership is about. We model something for someone else to imitate. The way we live speaks more than our words. You have the quote, the church needs heroes today. Every generation needs heroes, men and women we can look up to and emulate. We are looking up to a lot of people, aren't we? We become a society that has the American hero. We've got TV shows, reality shows, and we're still trying to emulate, but sometimes the models aren't so good. Can you say a word about the need for biblical heroes today?
Absolutely. You know, as I said earlier, when Paul says, it reminds us in 1 Corinthians, you know, bad company corrupts good character. We have to be people who recognize that we're going to become what our environment is. So for us, we live in this world, but we're not of it. So we have to create an atmosphere, an environment for God's presence in our lives. And I found that there are four primary things in my life that I want to be reminded of every day. And I use the H's, only keeps it simple for me. But if I know what attracts God's favor and blessing in my life, is to walk in the spirit of holiness. I'm not talking about external piety of some sort of religious kind of piety. I'm talking about the internal consecration of the heart, because the Word of God says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, which is the glory due His name. So the more I desire to live a life by the grace of God, consecrated to Him, and that my life is not my own, but it belongs to Him now because I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit purchased by the blood of Jesus, then attracting His presence and favor and blessing comes from that posture. Secondly, is the posture of humility is attractive to God. He's repelled against pride, but He loves the spirit of humility and staying low in His presence. The third thing is the place of honesty. I found for me, I used to be in the fitness business 30-something years ago, and we said, no pain, no gain. Now I say, Lord, make it hurt so good. I know I have to stretch my spiritual muscles, but that place of being brutally honest with myself so that God could help me to grow out of my place of flesh, because the flesh wars against the spirit, to become the man of God I'm called to be. I want to be the husband, the father, the ambassador for Christ, the minister, the employer. I want to be all these things, but I can't do that in my own strength. It has to be by being honest with my own human frailty and confronted with my own mortality, I think really helped that. But I want to make sure I understand that I'm honest with my human frailty and the frailty of my humanity so that God could pour His grace out of my life in that posture to help me to love His word and love His truth more than I love my own life. 2 Corinthians 2, Paul speaks of this, that if we lose the love of the truth, we can be turned over to strong delusion. I think that's played out right now. If you look at the media every day and you look at even where good is becoming evil and evil is becoming good, it's because even as Christians, we no longer love the truth. We begin to believe the lie, the fake news, as many are calling it. We believe all these rumors and innuendos or accusations against the brethren, rather than saying, wait a minute, that's not how we respond. We need to go back to our knees, get in God's word, and take a right posture of the characteristics of the kingdom by having a heart for honesty and for truth more than we do for those things that we keep hearing. The fourth thing is the place of honor. You know, the Lord says in Malachi, if I am your father, where is my honor? And so I think oftentimes we, by dishonoring God. We dishonor God by the way we depreciate or we don't honor one another. I think that we oftentimes, even as emerging generations are coming up, and I work with a lot of millennials and emerging generational leaders as well, and I tell them you will limit your future by how you deal with those who've gone before you. Even if you are different in your presentation, you need to show honor and respect to those who've laid foundation. There's been a foundation laid, sacrifices made, a price has been paid for you to build on. But if you build off a faulty foundation, you don't go back and look at what's already been laid for you in God's word and landmarks along the way and the people that have given their lives or laid down their lives for you to build on, then what you're doing is creating a whole new foundation that's faulty. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 that anything that we build that is not built on the foundations that are unshakable, the foundations of Christ, will implode. And we're seeing that happen with so many even Christian institutions that are, there's a crumbling that's going on throughout the nation and around the world because we've not built on the solid foundations of the Lord's word and on the characteristics of his kingdom. So holiness, humility, honesty, and honor, I believe, are ways that attracts the presence of God in our lives, pours out his abounding grace and great grace so that we can do what seems to be humanly impossible. God can do a work in and through us that's beyond our own comprehension. My father, my biological father, actually, I just went to his graveside on Memorial Day at Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Houston, and he actually came in the end of World War II. He served in Korea and in Vietnam War. He was a Navy SEAL, or underwater demonstrator frogman, Navy SEAL. But one of the Navy SEALs speaks of that we are ordinary people who choose to do extraordinary things. So we are just like that. We as Christians are ordinary people, but God puts on this supernatural capacity by his grace when we yield to him in a true posture before him.
Well, that's excellent. And we know that posture, as you gave us the four H's from holiness to honor, it's a posture of the servant. And I've known you casually from a distance sometimes in ministry things. But Doug, I see you as having a servant heart, and I thank God for that. I think it might be the one word that summarizes what we need in terms of heroes today, becoming more like our Christ. So again, provoke a thought. You write, while we pursue exalted and high places, Jesus, the exalted one, left his highest place to pursue us. And I like the story you gave. You were receiving an award in Houston Police Department, got you up there, and you had your new suit on. Tell that story and how it relates to servanthood, because it's good.
Yeah, I was nominated by the Houston Police Department for a United Cerebral Palsy gathering in the Barbara Jordan Leadership Award. And so I didn't know I was for sure I was the final person, but they finally called me up from the Diaz. They wanted us to come in black. It was a black suit affair, and so black tie affair. So I didn't own a black suit. So I went and I bought a brand new one, and you know, for the occasion. And so I'm standing up there. They called my name, and I'm going, "Wow, I actually got this!" And I stood up, and they gave me this beautiful thing with my name on it, and the media was there. And so when I was finished, I went down to the lobby and asked, you know, for the valet to give me my car. And someone from the mayor's office said, "Oh, congratulations!" I said, "Well, thank you very much." They said, "Oh, by the way, do you know Minnie Pearl?" And I said, "No, I don't understand what that means." So I get home and I picked up my suit coat from the passenger seat when I got to my apartment at the time. I looked up and I said, "Oh, no." And I said, no. What happened was I forgot to take the big tag, price tag, off the arm of the coat. So when I'm flashing my arms and on the media and thanking everybody for receiving the award, the whole time I had this price tag hanging down off of the bottom of my armpit. On my new coat. So it was a great reminder of no matter how much we get acknowledgement by man, that we still need to keep a posture of humility because God has a way of keeping us humble.
Yeah, and that's all of us. He has a way of keeping us humble. And when we humble ourselves and truly seek to serve each other and our Lord, we find unity, which is so critical, isn't it, today? We need leaders who are servants so that we can be unified. So there's another story that intrigued me. You talked about your pastor friend there in Houston who has the blue healer dogs. And you gave an analogy through that. I mean, it just is a great picture of what happens too often in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our ministries, when we forget the servant attitude. Do you mind sharing that again?
Absolutely. Yeah. Pastor Marion at the time was the associate pastor at Bamel Baptist Church, which is now has moved and changed its name. But he grew up in Texas, and they used to have blue healer dogs. And whenever it was time for roundup of the cattle or the sheep, they would bring their blue heeler dogs out and say, go blue. And blue heelers, they live, breathe, and eat to round up cattle and to round up the animals that they're called to round up. And so one morning they had a neighbor that had 500 head of cattle but didn't have enough blue heeler dogs. So being neighborly, all the neighbors got together, brought out their own blue heelers to help their neighbor out. They had their coffee, and that morning when they opened their cages, said, go blue, go blue. Normally these dogs live, breathe, and eat to do one thing, to go round up the cattle. So this time they didn't do that. They ran to each other, because these dogs didn't know each other, ran to each other, began to sniff and growl and check each other out. And no matter how much their owners said, go blue, that they would not even listen to the voice of their owners or masters until they were done sniffing, growling, and checking. And then they went out and rounded up the cattle and brought it in. And the moral of that story is in the body of Christ, we have to get past our sniffing, growling, and checking and get back to a place to realize there's a big harvest out there. There's a whole lot to do. We need to hear the voice of our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and get out and do what he's called us to do, to be the gospel individually in a tangible way, to bring the gospel corporately to a world that desperately needs them, and broadcast the gospel like you're doing, and broadcasting it from the rooftop, so to speak, so everyone has an opportunity to hear the gospel, which just means good news. We are the good news presenters of in a world that is evil. We live in a world that's messed up, and the world needs some good news in the midst of all the bad news.
Thank you. We're going to take a short break and be right back.
Scripture Awakening, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. Read B90, study B Next, and live beyond. Read B90. Bible in 90 Days provides a panoramic view of the sweeping story of God's Word. Almost 250,000 people worldwide have read through the Bible from cover to cover using Bible in 90 Days. Study B Next. B Next is a natural next step after reading B90. B Next Bible studies are available in digital and print formats, and now the corresponding Amazing Journey video series. Live Beyond. Beyond Words radio satellite broadcast and podcast feature insightful interviews from a wide range of Christian leaders that will both inform and inspire. Move beyond just talking about your faith to living it.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. This is Bill Campbell. We have with us guest Doug Stringer. Doug is a founder and president of Somebody Cares America International. This ministry actually was recognized in 2014 by Ministry Today magazine as one of the 21 churches or ministries that's most influential in the 21st century. Well, I know Doug, and he's been very influential indirectly in my life, but touching the lives of many, many people around the world. We're looking at his book on leadership called Leadership Awakening. You can look that up. You can Google it and find it and get a copy. And I've been giving little teasers as I interview Doug from quotes in his book, really his provoke thoughts that they're really mostly, I believe, Doug, your own words. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So you gave an analogy, really, from the blue heeler dogs about the need for us to work together. And sometimes what breaks down is our relationships. So here's a provoke a thought. The kingdom of God is built on relationships, first with God, then with one another. Do you mind carrying that forward, maybe even with a story or just a thought? Why are relationships so critical in the kingdom?
Well, and it goes back to the story that when you asked me about when I received that award and I had to be humbled. And when I was standing up, but the first thing I said was, first of all, although you're honoring me with this leadership award, I want to express the fact that I cannot be here without the people that work with me every day. So I might be the focal point of this award, but the reality is there is a whole lot of people. And I said, because relationships give definition to our destinies. And the degree of influence we have in life is determined on the level of those relationships, first with God, then with one another. So I began to thank all those who worked with me, and I also began to thank the Lord, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even do what I did. He gives me the passion that drives me. So I think it's important for all of us to recognize that, whatever accolades we may get in life, it pales in comparison to the ultimate glory that God will get when we turn it back to him. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, so that it will bring glory to your Father in heaven. So the point is not glory to self, but glory to the Father in heaven. And the reality is that none of us are an island to ourselves. We need one another more than ever. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. If I go fishing, and I tried to go fishing recently when I was in Florida and didn't catch anything, it had been years since I've been fishing, you can catch one fish with a fishing pole. But if we become a mended net together, then we can be cast together by the Lord and bring in a whole lot more harvest and see a lot more fruitfulness together than we can individually. And I think that's where we are today. The body really needs to get back to our plumb line of crossing our racial, denominational, generational lines, meeting at the cross of Christ, recognize we're part of something bigger than ourselves and that we need each other more than ever.
I know in a previous interview you mentioned how your name Stringer fits with your calling to kind of string people together in relationships. And today we've got this big obstacle. It's not just politics, but it's people who are not trusting each other. And some of it's along racial lines. Speaking of obstacles, you write this provoke a thought. Champions are not hindered by obstacles, but determined to overcome them. Doug, how do we overcome the divides that seem to get ever deeper in our nation?
Well, I think that I mentioned it a little bit earlier that I wrote an article that was published in the Washington Times back in January. And I started the article with this, that, you know, I talked about the church needs to find unity in our diversity so we can be a plumb line of healing and hope within a culture of division. And I talked about the importance of us keeping a posture of staying low individually. We have to stay low in humility. And we need to draw near to the Lord so we can hear from him and not all the voices out there, the noise pollution, and incline our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying so that we can move quickly when God speaks. And I started out that article and I said, in November 2nd, 2016 was the day of the seventh day of the World Series, and I was ministering at a church in the Woodlands, Texas, at the request of my friend, the pastor. Throughout the audience, I could see that there were people expressing their team choice by wearing either Chicago Cubs a Cleveland Indian shirt. And so I'll paraphrase now. So when I got up, I said, how many of you are Cubs fans? And everybody enthusiastically that were Cubs fans that, you know, cheered. And I said, how many of you are Indians fans? Of course, they did the same. And then I said, tomorrow, some of you are going to be celebrating because your team won the championship, the World Series. But some of you will be sad and deeply disappointed that your team did not. But at the end of the day, no matter who wins or who loses, will you still be Christian? And will you still be members of the body of Christ? And will you be still members of the church if you're a member here? And the point I was making was that in a few days, there's going to be a presidential election. And many have different political preferences and opinions and views and so on. But at the end of the day, don't listen to what the fodder is. Don't listen to the media. Don't listen to all the outside. What you need to hear what the voice of the Lord is saying. At the end of the day, regardless of what your preferences are, will you still be a Christian? And will you still reflect Christ even in your differences? Because we need to be Christ-like and love those who may even disagree with us. The sadness, you know, when you think about William Wilberforce, two primary things he did at the age of 19, being groomed to be a parliamentarian. He was a parliamentarian being groomed to be the prime minister. And yet he had two major passions. One was to see the abolition of slavery in the day during Great Britain's day in the United Kingdom. And secondly, was to see civility and character brought back into the kingdom. And he lived his whole life for those passions. And thank God, just a few days before he passed, he heard that on the floor of the parliament that they abolished slavery throughout the kingdom. And we live in that similar day where we have such a lack of civility and character. There's such venom, even in the body of Christ, that we're letting the world separate us and polarize us and divide us. And they can do that. How can we reach a divided nation or divided culture if the church is divided? We need to be united so that we can bring healing and hope into a culture of division.
Doug, a lot of it's about attitude, isn't it? In other words, we don't need a bunch of new programs, a big rally to get together. Now, those can be very good. You've helped host the response, big rallies around prayer, and I find those to be very significant. But in the end, if we just get our attitudes right, we're going to love each other with all of our distinctives and differences. And what are you seeing that encourages you in this time of division? What are some positive signs?
Absolutely. You know, there's always the story behind the story, and I think that as we as the body of Christ, if we recognize that God's still up to some things, you know, when I looked at 1999, I know there was at least four or five communities around the world experiencing some level of transforming revival. And by 2009, there was over 1,000 that we couldn't even keep up with. So in the midst of dark getting darker, light is getting lighter. We just have to keep focused on our eyes on the Lord Jesus and on the things of this world. And I think that for us, if we, you know, the old song is an old children, lift Jesus higher for all the world to see. And I think we need to be the church that lets his light shine in that way so that people can see our tangible works. And I think we need to start focusing in the midst of all the bad news, start being the good news and bringing the good news and broadcasting the good news, the gospel, all around us. And I think people are hungry for that. I'm finding more and more people, when they see the tangibility of Christ in our lives, they're hungry. They may not understand it in their minds, but they're being drawn to it. So I've really been praying this year that we as the church would find unity in our diversity and that we would be that plumb line of healing and hope within a culture of division.
So much of it, too, is not just attitude and in our vision, but it's around our priorities. And if someone else has a different agenda, it may be political, it may be the way they run their church or, you know, or just run their household. We need to love each other. Christ gave us this commandment. So here's a provoke a thought. As you consider that each of us every day are making choices about attitude, but also how we view other people. Choices have consequences regardless of how much we try to justify, excuse, or even try to legalize them. Maybe we can close out with some thoughts you have about how it comes down to this, to the deep things within us. We're making choices every day that impact not just our neighbor, but the world.
Absolutely. You know, and getting back, I think it's important. The attitude is important because we build off of our prop. You know, we grow in life based on associations, on affiliations, on agreements or disagreements, however we, you know, depending upon if we're divided or not. But ultimately, attitude, because even Albert Einstein said, weakness of attitude will always become a weakness of character. And I think it's important for us, if we're truly representing the characteristics of the kingdom of God, then we need to have the attitude of God's kingdom and not the attitude of our own personal preferences, our personal choices, our personal pet peeves. We need to get back to that place of remind. In fact, I remind myself every morning, and one of the ways I do that, two prayer times. But one is I say, Lord, would you help me to restore the joy of your salvation in my life? Let me never forget. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, that moment when I got the revelation of this incredible grace of the work of the cross and the power of the resurrection. And secondly, Lord, would you remind me that I would never forget where I've come from, but remember that glorious moment when you called me into being an ambassador for Christ, this great privilege of serving you and loving people. God, let me never forget those moments so I would never forget where I've come from. Mm. And that's just something I have to remind myself every day. Lord, be glorified in all that I do say and think. Lord, help me to have a right spirit, a clean heart, sharp, stable, sound mind, so that I can represent you and not my personal preferences or my personal opinions.
Doug, that's a good way to close. It all comes back to each one of us. We can choose our attitude. It's a choice, isn't it? We can be positive. Absolutely. We can go out to bless others, or we can get negative and cynical, and it makes everyone around us get irritated and want to give up, and it breaks down relationships. So let's all keep a positive spirit. Let's keep our hands on the book, the Bible, and our hands lifted to heaven in prayer. And God can do great and mighty things. Doug, thank you for inspiring us. And to the listener, consider getting the book, Leadership Awakening. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, sir.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.